We welcome back to the program for his monthly visit, our friend Sean Latch from the Amera Astronomy Center at the University of Maine. Sean, welcome.
Good to be back.
Did you come in here to be with us just to avoid handing out candy tonight?
No, not quite. Though I am still putting the finishing touches on our programs that start tomorrow.
Yeah, a lot of things going on here in the month of November. Some great programs as always. But I'll start with this. Tell me about the transit of Mercury.
Yes. So this is a historic event. It happens at roughly about 13 times a century. So not as rare as the transit of Venus, which if you missed the last time through, which is a couple years back, you'll have to wait till 2117 to do. Wow. But this happens about 13 times, like I say, over the course of a century. The disk of Mercury will transit or pass in front of the sun. And so this event is going to happen on November 11th. It'll start around 7:36 in the morning and finish about 1:04 in the afternoon, with mid-transit being around 10:20. Really, the two most interesting parts of the transit are the entrance and egress of the disk of Mercury into the sun, because that's when you can get an idea of the size of it and some other things of that nature.
Very cool. Well, hey, look, anytime there's something only happens 13 times in a century, you want to make sure you get to see it.
Right. We'll be doing free observing that day. We'll open up the observatory around 7 a.m., a little bit prior to things, and, of course, keep it open through around 1:15 in the afternoon. We do have a solar filter, so we can provide some safe viewing for folks. But again, it will be weather permitting. Don't show up if it's cloudy and you can't see the sun.
Coming up, one of those new programs that you roll out tomorrow night is Einstein's Gravity Playlist. What's that all about?
Yeah, so this is a program that takes a look at gravitational waves, a little bit about how they're detected and how we use them to understand our universe. In recent years, of course, the LIGO detected the first gravitational waves, and we know that they come from a variety of collisions, including collisions of black holes, neutron stars, things of that nature. And there's been more and more discoveries of these things, which help us get an understanding of some of the formation of our universe as well, and may change the way we look at it in some way. So the program covers that in a really understandable way. You'll follow Lucia, who is a graduate student, as she wanders through and figures out how gravity works from the very basics of Einstein all the way up through gravitational waves.
Awesome. And that's coming up 7 o'clock every Friday night in the month of November.
Yes. And then we have an actual supplement program to that. We're going to have a guest speaker, Dr. Emmanuel Berti from LIGO, who's actually going to be here for our science lecture series on November 14th. And he'll be looking at talking about LIGO and how it works, how they're using the different sites both here in the U.S. and there's also a site in Italy, plus looking at LISA, which is going to be a space-based type of gravitational wave detector that's set for launch in the near future as well.
We're talking with Sean Latch of Amera Astronomy Center, and you're skewing younger with your musical mashup of astronomy and music, celebrating One Republic in the month of November.
Yeah, One Republic is coming up, of course, and our program, The Future Looks Good. So we'll be taking a look at a variety of songs from their albums, including Oh My My, Native, Dreaming Out Loud, and, of course, some from their upcoming release, which is said to be called Human, and we'll be doing a few songs off that too.
Nice. And what about the kids programs? What's going on Sundays?
Polaris and the Mystery of the Polar Night. So this is a fun show where kids get to learn a little bit about why we have seasons here on Earth, how the length of daylight changes at the poles, along with other places, and ice in our solar system.
I'm excited by this too, looking ahead to next month. This sounds awesome. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe.
Yeah, that is a live program where we do a flight through, of course, our universe. We start on Earth and we fly out to the edge. And we use a variety of astronomy data sets, which are always being updated. So there'll be a lot of new cool things in there to see.
Fantastic. And of course, a lot of school programs going on. Homeschoolers coming up to check things out as well. It's a busy time of year. But also with the holidays approaching, I want to remind people that you got a great gift shop as well. And for the fan of astronomy in the family, that would be a great place to stop by.
Yeah, we have a number, and especially over the last year, we've got some new books in, both for adults and for kids. We do have gift certificates, which can be used for merchandise or, of course, for programs as well.
All right, what else can we look for in the skies here in the month of November other than the transit of Mercury?
Well, the end of the month is going to be a really great time to see the planets. So sort of the last week of the month or so, you're going to have some nice gatherings of Jupiter, Saturn, and Venus in the evening sky, and Mercury and Mars in the morning sky, along with the moon passing by those objects. So definitely something to check out towards the end of the month.
And I think we've talked about this before, but are there astronomical celestial connections to Halloween?
A number of them. Basically, it's based on the Celtic cross quarter day, sort of really the official start of fall, you might say. Even though if we think of fall as being the equinox, that's the astronomical start. But typically, it's sort of that cross quarter day, the point in between sort of the starting of fall and the starting of winter, which really is when fall kind of kicks into gear, you might say. And of course, this day takes a look at, you know, based on the Celtic, looking at the sky and seeing the alignments of the Pleiades and some other constellations, and that kind of kicked off some of their Halloween traditions.
I love it. Exciting time and a lot going on. Is this maybe your busiest time of year these next couple of months?
Well, definitely October was a crazy month. A lot of travel for conferences and other things. November typically and December start to get busy. There will be a number of field trips that folks get in before the holiday season and a variety of special programming as well.
I thought it was very cool at the World Series a few games back to see Buzz Aldrin out there throwing out the first pitch.
Yeah, it's quite incredible that he is still going strong.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about it. The right stuff, they meant what they said. It's remarkable how many of those astronauts have lived well into their 80s and 90s.
Yeah, very prolific group, you might say, in a variety of ways. And of course, Jessica Meir, too, being up on board our space, station right now, too. We've had some fun activities with that as well.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. How great is that to have a young woman from Northern Maine up there on the space station?
Yeah, it's very impressive. And of course, they did the first all-female spacewalk, which was very successful as well.
Would you go if you had the chance?
I've been asked it a couple times, and I tell folks, probably not. So the thing is, I do enjoy space and astronomy and things of that nature, but it's not all as, glamorous as folks think. When you go into space, most folks say you feel like you have a constant head cold because the blood in your body redistributes. Where on Earth it sort of sits on our legs and our heart pumps it around. So you'll notice their astronaut, the faces look a little bit puffy. About 85% get motion sickness the first several days and have, some serious issues with that as well. So I think it is very cool. I'm not sure that not until the technology gets a lot better and they can do artificial gravity. Then I might be willing to do it.
Speaking of that, have you seen any of the series with the Kelly brothers about the year in space? That I think was it Scott Kelly that spent an entire year in space? And yes, they're looking, because they're identical twins, looking at how
the DNA, and how it may have affected them. Yeah, I did get to see a little bit about that. It was pretty interesting to have, of course, one stay here on the ground, one fly for a while, and then sort of do that comparison and check out things.
Very interesting indeed. Well, it's a busy month. Head on up to Amera Astronomy Center, check out what's going on, and keep your eyes open for the transit of Mercury. And if the weather's great, check things out up at the university. Thank you, Sean.
Thanks so much.
Have a great month, and we'll see you again soon.
Sounds good.